All right, the Shilling Show going into a segment on credit cards, how to use them, how not to use them. They can get you in a lot of trouble. They can also be very beneficial to your financial situation if you have discipline and understanding of the system. We welcome to the program David Murata, the president of Murata Wealth Management, online at murataonmoney.com. And David, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so I don't really know the history of credit cards. I kind of remember as a kid, there was kind of generic Visas. Not everybody seemed to have a Visa. There was just Visas and there was just credit cards at some of the department stores. But when did we start seeing credit cards in the United States? Do you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know by the time I was in college, which would have been the early 1980s, mm-hmm. credit cards were, or at least debit cards, were pretty ubiquitous and you could get them everywhere. But you're right. Growing up, there was only store credit cards and things like that. And credit cards were not widely accepted. Interestingly enough, last week I saw a woman at the grocery store using cash, and I thought how unique that was. I'd never seen someone use cash in the grocery store ever, so that's a first for me.
Well, I've heard a lot of talk about this, and I think there's something to this, is that we grow up in a society now where cash transactions are so rare that you kind of gape at it, and I would do the same thing. And then we have these kind of apps that people can pay with, the Venmo and the Zelle and things like that. And so people never really have a sense of money coming and going like they used to. And I think that about with credit card spending. It's like, well, I could maybe spend another $50 or $100 on something that I wouldn't because I'm not having that money pass through my hands. Is that a valid observation?
Yes, it is. Apparently, we spend about twice as much with a credit card than we would with cash. And I think the reason is because if cash is going out of your wallet, you think, I know I have to go to the bank and get more cash. But as it's going out on a credit card, you rarely even look at how much the amount is.
Mm-hmm. And that it's gotten us into a lot of trouble. So there are some problems with credit cards. I think we ought to start there. You had an interesting cost of credit card debt calculator and understanding why credit card debt is so bad. And when I saw the numbers, I mean, I've never carried credit card debt in my life. I'd go from month to month. But when I saw the numbers, they were staggering as far as the interest rates. And you've dug into this.
Credit card debt is absolutely terrible. And it's a horrible thing. You know, to a financial planner, credit card debt is like having a cluster of thousands of baby spiders crawling all over your body and under your clothes. And there's no amount of modesty or acting fast enough that isn't warranted by the situation. Leaving it unresolved is just so ridiculous. And yet that's the way many people carry a credit card debt. The average credit card debt is maybe $9,000 or $10,000. Mm-hmm. It's a little more when you think about that's the average of people who maybe have credit cards. Maybe the average credit card debt is more like $14,000 or $15,000, and maybe a third of the people are carrying a credit card debt just constantly. And what that means is the minute you carry a credit card debt, all kinds of things go off. Your rates get jacked up to 18 or 24%. There's a penalty. You start getting all kinds of things on your credit card. And then every purchase you make on that credit card now comes with a 2% interest if you don't even if you pay it off at the end of the month.
How's that?
Well, simply because it's carrying a 24% annual rate of return. So if you have a credit card debt, the first purchase you make, there's no grace period before the end of the period.
Right.
It's now incurring interest right from the first purchase.
This is for people carrying debt who don't pay the entirety off every month.
Right. So yes. So if you're charging anything on your credit card, you're getting charged an extra 2% every single month on whatever you're carrying, even if you pay it off every month.
You mentioned these rates, there used to be laws called usury laws against charging interest rates that were too high, and I never really understood how they were applied. But why is the rate on credit card debt allowed to be so extraordinarily high? I'm not in favor of market intervention necessarily, but it's odd to me that one is so much higher than everything else.
Well, credit card debt is unsecured debt, meaning there's nothing that you've put up for collateral. You can walk away from it. And it's going to be okay so long as you declare bankruptcy. So a lot of people will run up their credit card and then they'll declare bankruptcy. Now they've got 10 years to work off their bankruptcy, but that is the way that a lot of credit card debt ends. And credit card companies have teams of people, and I mean teams and teams of people, and their job is to make sure that you get into trouble and you don't go bankrupt. So they're trying to keep you right in there in what they consider the sweet spot of having a balance And the minute you start getting into trouble, then they're going to reduce how much they're willing to risk on that credit card, and they're going to start charging you interest. But then they're also just going to call you and say, hey, what's happening? And can we help you out a little bit to make sure that you pay off this credit card debt because you've gotten into trouble? So they're trying to keep you hooked on credit cards and not going bankrupt. And that is a terrible spot to be in. Because my studies show that just if you just look at averages, you're risking about $2.4 million over your lifetime of being in credit card debt or not being in credit card debt. And $2.4 million, that's a lot of money. You know, the downside of credit cards is much greater than the upside. The downside is 18 to 24% negative interest. The upside, if you use credit cards wisely, you know, that's maybe the 3 to 5% that you could get on credit cards if you use it wisely. So the downside is so much riskier than the upside that people like me and you who don't get into credit card debt have a hard time realizing how bad credit card debt could be. And if people don't have an emergency fund, they get into credit card debt.
I want to put an exclamation point on something you said about people running up credit cards and then just going bankrupt or, in other cases, leaving the country. In a prior life, I worked as a paramutual line manager at the Santa Anita racetrack. And so I would be the guy at the end of the line who was in charge of all the paramutual clerks. But the thing that people did was when they wanted money to gamble with, they would get credit card advances from my window. So I'd start the day with anywhere from $40,000 to $70,000 in cash, and people would come up and kind of hit me at the credit cards. But I can't tell you the number of people that I met who just came to the racetrack and just maxed out credit cards, because we would get paid a couple hundred dollars to confiscate credit cards that were maxed out. And I was talking to one guy one time, and he goes, yeah, I came here from Thailand and I'm just having a good time. I ran my credit cards up to about $40,000 and I'm just going to go back to Thailand when I'm done. I'm like, okay, this is going on. And this was not the only example. So that's an extreme example, but people do this probably a lot.
Yes, they do. There's no shame in alcoholism, but there's shame in being a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame in having credit troubles. It's only when you continue to be a spendthrift that there's problems. And all of us have our weak points of our will.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, money is not a weak point. I can handle money well. But cookies are.
I hear you.
So we don't have a lot of sweets in the house just for that reason. And I eat much healthier because we don't have a lot of sweets. And I know that, if I do eat a lot of sweets and I begin to balloon, that would be a problem. It would be a health risk. That would risk my life. Well, finances are the same way. You have a certain amount of willpower and you need to decide where you're willing to spend it and where you're not willing to spend it. For people who can get in credit card debt, I would say don't. Just avoid it entirely. Don't have credit. Have cash. You'll spend less cash. And if you're the weak one and your spouse is the healthy one the strong one in that regard, then don't spend money unless your spouse approves. You can guard yourself with things like that just to not spend money. I mean, my rule is if I see a purchase and I'm not sure about it, I will wait a week. I could afford it. Yes, I could afford it, but I'm still going to wait a week because I just don't know if that's a good purchase or not. And so once I've scouted it out and I know whether it's a good purchase or not, then I will go ahead and take action and buy something or not buy it. And I'll have to decide on that. And also, advertising is terrible. There's entire marketing teams whose job is to make you spend money. My mom used to have a saying that she would say, it's too bad they have to advertise it because that means it's not worth anything. and I that's the way I feel about marketing. So if you've marketed something to me, I'll think, I don't know if I want that because you market it sounds good, but I don't know if I want that because you marketed it to me. And so I will avoid marketing like that. That's difficult to do, but I've had 60 years now of training on how to do things like that. So I don't want to put my willingness or not willingness to do that on someone who's weak. If you're weak, you should not spend money and you should not have credit cards.
When we come back on the other side, I want to talk specifically about the target college students who can get into a lot of trouble very early on and maybe with them for their entire lives. If you have comments or questions regarding credit cards, credit card debt, proper usage. All right, The Shilling Show into our final segment. David Morata is with us online at moradaonmoney.com. We're talking about credit cards, how people get into trouble and how you can get out of trouble. Boy, they go after students. Why are students such a fertile ground for credit card marketing?
Yeah, targeting students is a strategic decision for credit card companies. They know that students are more likely to exceed their credit limit, make minimum payments, and remain loyal to the company that issued them the crack cocaine in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's terrible. You know, one student, this is a true story, one student I know filled out an entire credit card application outside a University of Virginia football game. The promise was he was going to get a t-shirt in the mail. In truth, that was a scam artist. And what they got was all of his personal information and he got his identity stolen and his credit ruined. So, you know, that was his story. And he didn't even get the t-shirt, you know, because they're just scamming people.
It's interesting because we do think about credit cards as important in building your credit history and getting something started. So is that essential? Like a young person, and I have a son who's around this age where he could probably get a credit card. Is it essential to get one, use it with restraint as a young person to build your credit?
It kind of is. If you don't have credit, that's the way you build credit. And that's the way you build a credit score is your willingness to pay every month. If you don't have credit, it makes it harder to get a loan and things like that. So it's good to have a credit card and to pay your debts every month. There's some rules for credit cards, and I like to make sure that people are abiding by all the rules that I have, that I do. First is I've locked down my credit, so my credit is frozen. And so I have to release my credit, apply for the credit card, and then it locks back down again. And I do that periodically. I have to release it at all three credit bureaus. But it means that no one else can apply for credit during the window, except during the window when I'm applying for credit.
And we should say, as I understand it, it has gotten much easier to unlock your credit than it used to be.
It is. When I first locked down my credit, you had these three different keys and three different institutions, and it was all crazy. Now it's much simpler, and it's all online, and you can do that relatively easy. Although I did at one credit bureau, because my credit was so old, I did have some trouble, and I had to re-up my getting on. So even stuff like that can be crazy. You should have all of your credit card information in a password vault. Because if your wallet's stolen, how do you know who to call? So I have all my credit cards in my password vault. One of the first things I do when I get a credit card is I put it in the password vault. I put in everything. So I put in all the digits of the card number. I put in the expiration date. I put in the key. And then I turn it over, and I also put the phone number on the back.
Good.
Because the phone number is important when you're reporting something stolen. You need to know who to call. You can't just do something like that. I turn the card over, and I call the number, and I have them turn off all 14 ways that they could market to me. No one knew there were so many until I finally got someone who would explain to me what all the ways were. And there are 14 different ways that they can market to you. So if you say, I'd like to turn off advertising, they'll turn off one of the 14. And then you say, is there anything else I can turn off? And then they'll turn off two of the 14. Yeah. So you just have to keep being persistent until you can turn off everything that you could possibly turn off. Internal marketing, external marketing, emails, mailings, all of that has to get turned off individually. And then I will also set the account to notify me if a dollar is charged.
Yes, I have that too.
That's the best fraud. Yeah. That's the best fraud detection. And I have notify me by email because I'm always checking my email. I have everything go through my email. And I will also set it up to pay automatically from my bank account. That's a little questionable. For some people don't want the credit card company to have the ability to grab money out of their bank. I don't want to forget.
Okay.
So I know people who've gotten a credit card and then they've forgotten to make a payment, or even worse, the post office fails to deliver a statement, which is the real difficulty. And so I always have them do that automatically, because that way I will never miss a payment. If anything, they'll overdraw my bank account. And then I get credit in my name only, simply because I've known clients who've gotten a credit card with their spouse, and I just celebrated my 41st anniversary, so I'm happily married, but I know that I can get a credit card in my name, and then it only ruins my credit. That will preserve my wife's credit if something happens, and she can get a credit card in her name, and both those credit cards together can both be eligible for the benefits of a new credit card. Sometimes that's $100, sometimes $150, sometimes it's $70. Some benefit is there as well. And then I set, all my credit cards are set up so that they get the maximum benefit for that card. So I have a card for the grocery store and one for restaurants and one for online purchases and one for Amazon purchases. And each of those credit cards will have a benefit of 3 to 5% on the specific kinds of purchases I make on it. And then I write with a Sharpie on my credit cards for what it's for. And does it go in my wallet or does it just go online? So for example, I have an Amazon card. Amazon gives you $70 for getting an Amazon card, just cash. And then on the Amazon, I get 5% back on purchases because we're Prime members. And that is only on my Amazon account. So all my Amazon account defaults to that. And it's a way of getting 5% more of your hard-earned money because that way it costs 5% less. And if you think about it, to get 5% in your account might cost 7% because you have to pay taxes on your income. So it's like a 7% bonus on my pay. And my pay comes in and I get to spend, you know, 5% less of it.
It works very well. We've got about a minute left for people who are in trouble right now. The remaining minute, how do you, what's, where do you start getting out?
Yeah, we've got some articles on our website, and basically you have to take drastic measures. You know, I've never seen someone get out of credit card gently. I've only seen them get out of credit card drastically. And you have to have a spending moratorium, and you have to say, I'm going to get out of this credit card debt, and I'm going to do it within a set period of time. And you have to just start stockpiling, you know, a savings away so that you can, so you can have an emergency fund, and then you need to start just paying off all of the credit card that you can. It's hard. I will say that. It's hard to get out of credit card. It's so easy to get into credit card debt.
Yes, it is.
But it is so difficult to get out. And really, there's no amount of pain that you could go through. And the minute you miss a payment, that's the first step that you need to go through. By the time you're $10,000 into credit card debt, now you just don't know what to do, and it seems hopeless. And that's when it gets hopeless because you don't have the will to be able to do that. And that's where you just need to say, I'm not going to spend any money, or I'm going to start selling things on eBay, you know, because I sell stuff on eBay all the time. You might think that's a ridiculous thing for me to do. I find it's a great way of getting rid of junk and finding somebody who wants it more than wants it and is willing to pay for it.
You and I are in the same boat because I do exactly the same thing. And I would just put an exclamation point on the fact that there's some terrific articles on this online at MuradaOnMoney.com. You can learn everything you need to know to get yourself out of trouble and how to make maximum benefit from using credit cards the right way. David Murata, always great information. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.